Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Dirty is Morgan. Good move by Daniels to get away from the first hit, but even better play by Drake Thomas to stay with the elusive Washington quarterback who's hurt. Jaden Daniels down and in some pain. So Daniels going down right away in this really injury-plagued, nothing-going-right season for Washington takes another awful turn.
All right, once again, Mike Tirico, Sunday Night Football, NBC, where the Commanders unfortunately will be featured again next Sunday against the Denver Broncos in a game that, weirdly, they probably have a better chance to win than they did the Seattle Seahawks Sunday nighter where Jaden Daniels was hurt. Why? Because Denver's offense isn't good. And it remains to be seen whether Patrick Surtain is going to play. He's been banged up. And that's, you know, Benito's their other big-time player, and he's going to be a terror. But we don't know if they get that break as well. All right, welcome back. Hour number two, everybody. We're going to get into Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. mess once again. Coming up later on this hour. But I wanted to circle back again and say, it is beyond absurd if anybody out there is saying there's nothing to be gained by Jaden Daniels playing. I'm sorry. If that's you and you're listening, you're wrong. There is a lot to be gained. Even in a lost season, a completely adrift at sea season, like, you know, as I told the story earlier this week, when I came back from Spain, I threw up in a boat, right, on the Mediterranean. Even if you're lost at sea on the Mediterranean or over the Atlantic Ocean, there's still something to be gained. There's still something to be had. Even if it's, and I'll say it like this, 2 weeks to go in the regular season, and say the Commanders have lost against Denver, at Minnesota, and even if they've lost against the Giants in Philadelphia, four more losses in a row. And for whatever reason, medically or football-wise, Jaden Daniels has not been cleared, has not returned. And even if he has, but even if he hasn't, and you say 2 weeks to go, what's there to be gained? There's a lot to be gained. He is not good enough yet at this point, regardless of what he did last year, in a historic rookie season. He is not good enough yet at this point, and not even close to being good enough at this point, in my opinion, to say, nope, there's nothing to gain here by playing in real live games against, say, Dallas and Philadelphia to end out the year. Now that's, again, even if he's returned at that point, which I would assume he probably would, and say he plays, I don't know, the Minnesota and Giants game, and you say, All right, actually, let's do it this way. The Giants road game, the Philadelphia home game. And you're looking at the final 2 weeks of the season, Christmas Day against the Cowboys, and at Philadelphia, who may have the division, may have, you know, who knows what they may have locked up. Even if you say, theoretically, the season is over, there's nothing good that can happen, you're wrong. You're wrong. Period. You're wrong. I'm sorry. You're wrong. He needs to play. He needs to figure out more. This is not just Kurt Warner lighting him up on a bad Sunday night. This has been all year. And if I have to be the bad guy by being the honest guy, I will. He needs to play. The only way football players get better at playing football and quarterbacks get better at playing quarterback is by playing games. Not practice, not watching film, not being in meetings. The only way they get better is by playing. Period. And there's something also to be said. Going back to the Seattle injury, when everybody said malpractice, this, that, and the other thing. When you're the leader of a football team, do leaders quit? If you're the leader of our troops in a war zone area and things aren't going your way, where it's hot and you're tired and you feel like you've done enough and you feel like, oh man, if I stay out here, something bad might happen. Do you leave your troops out there and go pack it up and go rest? No, you don't, ever. That's not the way it works. In a blowout, if you're winning, and the coach decides, hey, man, we're going to, you've done enough, you've seen enough, whatever, there's nothing to be gained here. That's different. That's different. But if you're getting adverse circumstances, in that case, getting annihilated, you want one guy to be treated special. One guy to be isolated. One guy who's the leader of the team. At the most important position to go on vacation and everyone else has got to keep trudging through the mud? Never made any sense to me. Just like if Jaden Daniels is medically and football cleared to play, whether it be against Denver, Minnesota, the Giants, Philadelphia, Dallas, Philadelphia in week 18. If he is medically and football cleared to play and practice, if they make the decision, there's nothing to be gained here, there's nothing important here, there's nothing to be gained here, that is terrible. 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 Now, if he's not medically cleared, let me repeat, that is a different argument. Even if they say, you know what, he was medically cleared to return to practice, he didn't look like he didn't look good, which they would never say. We thought it would be too much of a risk. I would accept that, but I would still be like, really? Are we sure here? Like, if he gets beat up, if he gets sacked a couple of times, if he plays terribly, if he's rusty, if his timing is off, if whatever, so what? He's got to play. He ain't getting better being in street clothes. All of the stuff that goes into playing on Sundays or Sunday nights or Mondays or Thursdays or whatever days is important, but nothing is as important as playing in real live games. Nothing. Full speed, full contact. Nothing. No practice, no meeting, no film session, no nothing. Nothing is as important as playing in full speed, real live games. Nothing. It is completely absurd. Not partially absurd, not semi-absurd, not, I could kind of go. It is completely absurd. Completely absurd to think that Jaden Daniels has nothing to gain, has nothing to learn, has nothing to experience. Completely absurd. And this is not just a Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury. Well, you know, if they just don't call run-pass options, or if they don't call read options, or if they don't call whatever, then he'll be great. You know, No. He needs to get better as a passer. Sorry, he does. If you don't think that, you're not watching the tape. You're not watching what anybody else is watching. There's no time for pom-poms here. He needed the work last year, too. That's why it was hugely important for him to get 20 games in his rookie year and to not miss a game. Even though he missed large stretches of games, he played in all 20. And he played really well at the end. I mean, throughout, but really well again at the end, when his team needed him the most. But just because you play 20 games in your rookie year and you play really well and you have an all-time epic rookie year does not mean that you can't get better in year two. Does not mean that you shut it down. Does not mean that at all. You play. Like Joe Burrow, even though I think he's coming back a little bit too early from what the original prognosis is, and they might be rushing him, I can't control that. I don't know what's going on in his foot. I don't. Now, he's oft injured. I hope they're being cautious, but I can't control that. That's just a guess on my end that he's coming back too soon based on the original timeline. But original timelines are just that. They're an estimate. All right. Speaking of Joe Burrow, let's get to our guy, Jeff, in Vienna. Jeff, are you optimistic? Are you excited for Joey B or no?
You hit the nail right on the head, Mr. Russell. You know, all season I felt like the Commanders and Bengals fans have been kindred souls. Quarterback goes out, terrible defense. You guys probably have a better O-line than we do, I would guess. But, you know, Burrow is a Jordan-level competitor. If they clear him to play, he's going to play. And that's our problem is we have two games in 4 days, and the second game is against the Ravens, who we know are not the cleanest playing team in the league from time to time.
That is true.
yes, indeed. They have people who like to take runs at Joe Burrow. And, you know, we won't have Jamar on Sunday. The O-line is better, but not great.
Right.
And we basically have the same defenses, except ours is even worse than the Commanders.
Right. I think Burrow would be best served, it sounds like you agree, to not play this Sunday, but maybe play next Thursday, even though the Ravens are, again, a little bit dirty and maybe take a gratuitous shot or two, just so that he has a little extra time to practice, prepare, whatever. The problem is, on a short week, as you know, Sunday to Thursday, there isn't a whole lot of practice time to get extra work, to get extra prep.
Right, and I'm not calling out just the Ravens. If he plays, anybody who plays him, if they have a chance to step on his foot, they're going to step on his foot. I mean, that's, you know, the nature of competitive professional sports. So I don't think very many people go out there and try to deliberately hurt anybody, but, you know, it's like, why do you think in hockey they only say upper body and lower body injury? Mm-hmm. So the other team doesn't specifically target the guy's elbow or something like that, you know?
I mean, you can only do, you know, of course, to your point, great point. But, I mean, in this case, obviously, everybody knew it was the foot surgery, all that stuff. This is more a matter of, I don't know, and I could be wrong, I don't know if somebody were to inadvertently step on his foot, whether it be a Raven or his own offensive lineman, if his foot is going to spontaneously combust, right? I would imagine it's not going to happen that way. But, like, what you hope to avoid is somebody just doing a little extra something dirty to take advantage of what they know is already semi-compromised. I would say for me, you mentioned not having Ja'Marr Chase. Is there anything in your mind to be gained by him coming back as early as he's apparently going to, based on the initial timeline, and playing without Ja'Marr Chase? Or is it better to wait for Ja'Marr Chase to be back and give him extra time?
Oh, I would much prefer to wait until Thursday. I mean, let's be honest. To have any chance in the playoffs, we have to win 7 games in a row.
Yeah.
Two of which are against the Ravens. I just, again, the guy's a Michael Jordan level competitor, and if he says he wants to play, just what you said before you picked up. If the medical team clears him and he says he wants to play, he's going to play for better or worse. That's about all there is to
it. But, you know, the medical team could say, you know, Joe, I know you want to play. Like, we would advise against it, you know? So then who makes that decision? I assume that's the football staff, but I don't think the Bengals medical staff is going to make that decision to not have him play just simply because they've cleared him to fully practice, you know? So I think this is a football decision at this point.
Well, Zach Taylor was on one of the local radio shows this morning sounding quite optimistic that he's going to play on Sunday. Yeah. So, you know, even if he plays, we could still score 45 points and lose the game, unfortunately.
Lose the game.
That's the bigger, the bigger problem. So, but on your side, are they talking about Daniels coming back? I was in Spain longer than you were, and I just haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I mean, well, the latest is that originally the expectation that they had was 5 to 6 weeks from the time of the injury. So, like, that would seemingly not be next Sunday night against Denver when they come back from the bye. But possibly you would still leave the door open for that. But more likely, he would return against Minnesota on the road to start. When is that? December. That's December 7th, or the Giants on December 14th. That's more likely. So
and you still have 2 games left against the Eagles defense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are pro athletes. We can't relate to them. We don't heal as quickly as they do. Yeah. We don't have the physical therapy they do. And we don't have the mental drive.
And here's the thing. Guess what? I mean, for anybody that says, well, you know, Joe Burrow shouldn't come back because he's got to take on the Ravens twice. Jaden Daniels shouldn't come back because he's got to take on the Eagles twice. Guess what? That's being a football player. That's being a quarterback. This is the National Football League. Yep. This isn't like, you know, powder puff football. You know, I mean, this isn't none of that.
Yeah. They are not you and I going to PT 2 times a week for rotator cuff surgery. That's not how it goes.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Sorry about your fishing incident.
Yeah, it's all right. That's okay.
I love my time in Spain. Madrid and Barcelona are just so awesome. I can't wait to go back.
Sorry we didn't get to hook up while there, but our schedules just didn't work out exactly. you know, I'm glad you had a good trip, and it was a wonderful experience. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you, as always. Good to hear from Jeff in Vienna, our number one Bengals fan. So, I mean, listen, real quickly here. Joe Burrow is going to come back and play as long as, again, the medical staff signs off after a week of practice, and as long as the football staff is convinced that timing, rhythm, drop back, whatever wise, he's not going to not play because they're fearful of him getting injured again or because they're fearful of the Ravens taking an extra shot. Not going to happen. Coming up, Jalen Hurts once again in the crosshairs. Seems like an annual tradition. What's going on in Philadelphia? And some thoughts on not only Jaden Daniels, but also Shedeur Sanders, who gets his first NFL start this Sunday with the Cleveland Browns. All to come right here in the 2 o'clock hour on the Team 980.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Philadelphia Eagles have largely just kept winning, right? I mean, it has not been easy. It has not been perfect. They are not a dominant force by any means. On defense, they seem to be. But they're 8-2 in the top of the division. Two teams in the division absolutely suck. And one team has been average to average plus. If the Eagles were in a better division, they might not be 8-2. But they are. They've beaten the Cowboys once already to open up the year, barely. They play them again this Sunday. I think the Cowboys are going to win that game. They've lost at the Giants. They beat the Giants. They haven't played the Commanders yet. They're going to win at least one of those two, if not both. But we'll see, because things can play out. They've beaten the Buccaneers on the road. They've beaten the Rams at home by the skin of their teeth. They've beaten the Vikings on the road. They beat the Packers on the road. They beat the Lions by a touchdown Sunday Night Football at home. This week, they've got the Cowboys on the road Sunday, and then the Bears on the day after Thanksgiving next Friday at home. We'll see. But they're 8-2, and yet all anybody could talk about is how bad their offense is and how frustrated everybody is with not just the offense in general, but apparently Jalen Hurts. So there was a report a couple of days ago in The Athletic that teammates, and I'm sure you can guess who, are kind of focused on being upset that Jalen Hurts is not taking what they preach in practice and say in practice and do in practice to the games, that he's not seemingly throwing into tight windows against zone defenses, so on and so forth. The Eagles rank 25th in total yards of offense, 300.1. Now, part of that, a huge part of it, is Saquon Barkley's having a down year compared especially to last year. But they're 28th in passing, 185 yards per game. and 29th in third down conversion rate at 33.8. Now, we told you yesterday, we gave you a bunch of numbers on third and fourth down. Jalen Hurts is really good. So I'm surprised to see their third down conversion rate that low, but it also speaks to what they're not doing on first and second down, right? They're averaging 115.2 rushing yards per game, which is 17th in the NFL, so basically dead average, or middle. But 179.3 last year, so way down. So Jalen Hurts was asked yesterday at the podium about these reports, about all the buzzers circling around, and you're going to hear the question, then the answer from Jalen Hurts and how he went about it.
Yeah, there was a report over the weekend that there's some frustration building in the locker room with your approach. How do you kind of digest that and what's sort of your reaction to it?
Just go to work every day. Go to work every day and continue to go out there and try and do my best.
Being in the position you are as a starting quarterback in this league, does that kind of come with the territory? And how do you learn to deal with it?
I think it definitely does. And, you know, I take a lot of the responsibility when things are going. I guess I get a lot of attention when things are going well and when things are not going so well. And so I never run away from holding myself accountable. And I think, you know, I think that's exactly what I've taken the approach of doing. You know, when I look at this last game, you know, I take great pride in what we do on offense. I take great pride in how we go out there and play as a team and what our flow is. And so, you know, we obviously got work to do, and I think that obviously starts with me.
If there are frustrations from your teammates or coaches with you, do you feel like you're open to them coming to you with?
Well, I can't get into hypotheticals of if. Ultimately, it's about coming in here and working and leading.
So those things haven't been brought to you directly?
I don't want to get into that. I know it hasn't, though.
All right, so that's a little bit of Jalen Hurts yesterday. And he's, I don't want to get into that. You know, and whatever he said there at the end. Like, you know, A.J. Brown, who's a squeaky wheel pain in the ass, is bitching up a storm. Now, what we don't know is it Devontae Smith as well? Is it Dallas Goedert? Is it Jahan Dotson? Is it Saquon Barkley? Is it the coaches? What is it? Again, I don't know. I don't know enough about what the Eagles are not, because I have enough to worry about with this team. I didn't get to see the game Sunday night. Clearly, they only scored 16 points. Clearly, Jalen Hurts was 50%. This should not be a surprise. Again, for whatever reason, Jalen Hurts is not a great regular season quarterback. But he has mostly been fantastic in the postseason. And it kind of reminds me, they're very different style quarterbacks. But the inconsistent, choppy waters of the regular season and then really good at times in the playoffs reminds me of a quarterback, AMAC, that you loved.
Well, you're assuming a bit there. You gave me heart attacks, but yeah, that is a good comparison.
Right?
I do like that.
Different
yeah.
style,
mm-hmm.
but Eli was up and down and all over the place in the regular season, mm-hmm. yet in two magical postseason runs, put it all together.
Yeah.
And was basically just everything that you would hope that you would have hoped that he could have been mm-hmm. when they drafted him and made that trade
yeah.
in 2004.
Yeah, and I would take that a step further and even talk about like the comparisons to the defense, because I think last year the Eagles getting after the quarterback was a huge component of why they won, not just the Super Bowl, but you know the games leading up to that point. Mm-hmm. And I think Jalen Hurts has a running back in Saquon Barkley throughout all last year and in the playoffs last year. Now, he didn't show up in the Super Bowl, but similar to the Giants, they had, you know, a more of a two-back system, Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs in those Super Bowl-winning years. So, yeah, all that to say that there are similarities not just with Eli Manning and Jalen Hurts, but the team around them. Unfortunately, there's just a little more gripe from this Eagles team.
Well, I also don't think you had the punks on those Giants teams.
Yeah.
Even though you had Plexico and whatnot, and you had some strong personalities. I don't think you have the punks, the spoiled punks like an A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him a spoiled punk, but I definitely understand your frustration with him.
A.J. Brown?
Yes, game? Yes, yes.
I would call him a spoiled punk.
Yeah, I know. You have no fear of holding back.
He is a squeaky wheel and then some. Like, squeaky wheel is a nice way to describe him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's never happy about anything, and he constantly shows his disrespect for his teammates, for his quarterback, for his organization, for the fan base by reading a book, a stupid book on the bench.
Yeah.
Like, pay attention, man.
Yeah.
Suck it up. You think if I came in here every day allowing my frustration and disappointment with the treatment that I get or don't get, do you think, you know, if I took it out on the show and the audience, that people wouldn't be mad about that?
Yeah, I agree 100%, Rooster. And I think it does create a dynamic of, you know, egos get involved, and it's just unnecessary and brings more distractions to that locker room. Because, like you said, it's already difficult enough between the players. I'm sure no one is looking at this offense and necessarily happy with it, but agreeing with you here, I think that the problem is the antics, going to the media, complaining on streams, and all of this with an 8-2 record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can understand if you're frustrated about this offense and you guys are barely scraping the playoffs, but you're kind of throwing your teammates under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have and you're still one of the best teams in the NFC.
You're 8-2.
Yeah, and have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl.
I have no problem wanting the if you're a member of the Eagles, wanting the offense to be better. I have no problem with that. Stop making it about just you. Stop making it about, like, that it's all the quarterback's fault. It's everyone's fault. I mean, Saquon Barkley, again, is not having a great year. The offensive line is beat up. People are talking about, well, Cam Jurgens is banged up. Lane Johnson, I don't think he's going to play this Sunday. I don't know if that's been made official. Like, there's a lot of reasons. Earlier in the year, it was, well, the new offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo, sucks. He's clueless. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we return, I want to get into this. There was something that I wanted to get to in terms of, like, ESPN puts out these mock drafts, right? And it's very early on. We don't even have a draft order. And they have something that I think is going to make AMAC really, really happy, but something that my understanding is completely unrealistic. And I'm curious as to how you would operate if this scenario plays out. I want to get to that coming up. First, trending alert, quick break, and then we'll come on back. All right, Thursday Night Football tonight, right here on the Team 980, after Talking Terps with Mike Locksley at 7 and Linnell Willingham before that. The Bills and the Texans go at it tonight. No Curtis Samuel for Buffalo. Also, Dalton Kincaid banged up, not expected to play for Buffalo. We know Joe Mixon is not going to play, and he is not expected to play the rest of the season for Houston. C.J. Stroud will miss a third consecutive game. It looks like he will return from concussion protocol next week. Bills, Texans, both teams really banged up. Coming up your way right here on the Team 980. At 8 o'clock tonight from Houston. Meanwhile, around the NFL, we just mentioned Jalen Hurts. He's kind of unfazed by all of the reports of turmoil within the Eagles locker room and building. Cleveland Browns, another awful year for them. They'll start Shedeur Sanders, but a little bit of bright side. They have locked up young defensive end Alex Wright to a 3-year $33 million extension, $21 million guaranteed. 9 sacks since being drafted in the third round of the 2022 draft, including 3.5 so far this year. Meanwhile, college football, a couple of games on the docket tonight. Arkansas State and University of Louisiana are going at it at 7:30. That's where ESPN is doing their stuff from today. That game, of course, will be on ESPN a little bit later on tonight, 7:30 kickoff. That is the college football slate for tonight. Wizards off tonight after losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Capitals are back in action tonight in Montreal, playoff rematch against the Canadiens. Tarik El-Bashir will join us, I think, tomorrow after the back-to-back set, and the Caps and the Canadiens go at it tonight. Again, puck drop just after 7 o'clock from the Bell Center on 106.7 The Fan, and that's what's trending.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, so I went to the kitchen. I grabbed a little salad earlier.
Now you went for the main thing.
Well, yeah. I was looking for, like, the ham. Like, the baked ham. I saw Aaron from our sales staff carving it up. No ham. Yeah. I see Anthony Haney and B. Mitch.
They still in there?
Carving up turkey. I said, where's the turkey? And Haney looks at me, he's like, I ate the last of it. I'm like, wait. So I went to, excuse me. I went to the mashed potatoes. No mashed potatoes. I said, what happened to, like, all the food? I guess everybody ate it. I don't know. Did you get anything good?
Yeah, I got some stuffing, some string beans.
Oh, you got stuffing?
Yeah, some.
Get any ham or turkey?
I had turkey legs.
Okay, yeah. That qualifies as turkey. Yeah. Like a big old turkey leg?
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty satisfied. Full. You know,
I mean, I didn't even see you eat the turkey leg. When did you eat it?
I was right here in front of you.
Really?
Yeah, man. I don't play around when it comes to food. Put it in front of me. I'm going to eat it.
So I grabbed somebody, I guess, they're called pupusas, I believe is what B-Mitch said. Mm. It's like almost like a fried, it looks fried.
Looks like a pancake.
Yeah, like that. And I grabbed, somebody had some banchan chicken in there, so I grabbed a couple of pieces of that. And then I grabbed a little, what I thought was chili, but it just tasted like a meatball. I don't know what exactly it is. But you know what I didn't grab? A napkin. And now I've got sticky, greasy hands and fingers.
I'm on my way over there right now.
My man. And I just forgot. So I've got stuff all over my hands, and I'm trying not to get it on my computer or on my clothes or anything like that. All right, so here's what I wanted to get into. Thank you, AMAC. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. Oh, look at you. A wet wipe, too. God love you. Oh, what a hero. This is the hero America needs. Wow, look at you. the hero America needs. All right, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. God love you. That's my guy, AMAC. I don't know where we found him, but we found him. So nice of him to come in and save the day. All right, so I saw this late last night, and I thought, let's talk about it today. Right? There's not much going on. So Matt Miller of ESPN, you know, he is a longtime draft Nick, what have you. He thought, hey, it's a good time to put out a mock draft. First 32 picks. And obviously, things are going to change rapidly and dramatically, never mind in draft season, but just over the next couple of weeks of the NFL season, because slots are going to change. And like the Commanders right now are projected at the number 7 overall pick. They might be top 5. They might be 9th or 10th. Who knows? And that obviously will alter how and who they pick. But the Tennessee Titans right now are projected to have the number 1 overall pick. However, Miller says not so fast. They have a quarterback, Cam Ward. Whether that works out or not, we'll see. The Jets are going to move up to number 1 overall. Remember, they have a couple of first-round picks from the Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams trade, what have you. They're going to move up. So the Jets at number 1, and they move up from number 9, so behind Washington, to number 1 and draft Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, right? Okay, not a surprise that A, they need a quarterback, B, that they would be one of the aggressive teams. Now, what he also projected, did Matt Miller, is a slight flip between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants, with the Browns jumping up to number 2 and grabbing Dante Moore out of Oregon. So that would be the second year in a row that they drafted an Oregon quarterback, right? Because they just drafted Dylan Gabriel. Now, Moore obviously has started elsewhere, UCLA, so on and so forth, what have you. But here he would be jumping ahead of Dylan Gabriel, presumably, right? So there you have that. So the Giants, in this scenario, would get the number 3 overall pick, which is what they had for Abdul Carter last year. To move down one spot, they would receive, according to Miller, a 3rd-round pick in 2026 and 2027. Okay. So now we get past that. The Giants, by the way, at number 3 in this projected trade and mock draft, would take an offensive tackle.
I thought you were okay. Go ahead.
Did you see?
I saw you post the link to the story. I did not read the story.
Okay. Francis, and I'm not even sure how to say his last name, Magua?
From Miami? Yeah, I'm not sure how to say his name either.
However you say his name.
Good tackle.
The offensive tackle from Miami, which obviously would make sense, being that they drafted Evan Neal 4 years ago. That was a complete disaster, and Andrew Thomas is always hurt. And you've got to protect a young quarterback and so on and so forth. The Titans, at number 4, after the trade with the Jets, the Jets were at it wasn't the Jets were number 9. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. The Jets were at number 4. The Titans obviously would swap from 1 to 4 with the Jets, and they would take Jordan Trison, the wide receiver from Arizona State, and certainly you get Cam Ward some weapons. Number 5, the Raiders. We know Geno Smith is not the answer, whether it's the offensive line or whatever. Ty Simpson, the quarterback out of Alabama, at number 5. Arvell Reese, number 6, to the New Orleans Saints, who drafted a quarterback in Tyler Shuck at 40 overall last year. So you could make the argument they don't need a quarterback, but maybe they do. At number 7, The Commanders, currently, right now, at 3-8, are projected to take Reuben Bain Jr., the edge out of Miami. Now, you have said, AMAC, and you watch college football a lot. You go back and you watch tape and all that. You're very well prepared. You have, I think you have spoken extremely highly of Reuben Bain.
Yeah.
Like, to the point, and maybe I'm wrong, to the point where you, I believe you've considered him for number one, right, overall. Is that right?
Not that high. No, no, not that high.
Okay, so I'm wrong on that.
I would definitely look at him like a top 10 pick.
Okay, so you don't think, when I saw this, and maybe it was Denton Day, that because Denton Day is promising to streak through the Capitol Mall naked, if this scenario happens, maybe it's Denton Day that is super high on Reuben Bain, and I was confusing that with you. I know you like Reuben Bain, but maybe it was Denton, and he did, again, promise to streak through the Capitol the Capitol Mall.
Yeah.
If this scenario were to work out,
free Denton Day.
If I presented you Reuben Bain at number seven, I assume you would love that pick for the Commanders.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you when we return: is that a grand slam? Is that a home run? Or is that a solid rip double? A sport that you love, baseball, so much. I'm going to ask you to answer it in baseball parlance, okay? I think I have a pretty good answer for it.
Yeah.
I want to see what you say, but I don't want to tell you what my answer is, so we'll do that on the other side, okay?
Love the tease, yeah.
Let's do that. And then I want to get into this new baseball media rights deal that they came up with yesterday that was announced after our show. We'll do that, so we'll keep a little synergy going. On the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.